Welcome, listeners, to the last episode of 2022. Woo, woo. Here we are. All excited. Now, Amanda, I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
We are going to talk today about our top three books, the favorite three books we read this year. And I'm letting you know from the top, no cheating.
That means she's gonna edit at you, so you might as well have control over what's said.
That's
by picking the right thing
or the right editing number.
No honorable mentions, no speed dating, none of it. You have to actually tell us your top three.
Speed dating.
Okay. I think I can do that this time.
Can you do it? Can you do it?
I think so.
Welcome to Book Fair, a feast for every season of reading.
We are a growing community of curious readers who share the excitement of books.
We want to read together and feast together through the seasons of the year and the seasons of our lives, and we hope you join us.
So, best books of the year, and how did our reading goals go, and, you know, just like what our major takeaways this year from our reading life. We're covering really big across the whole year topics today. So let's start with goals. Elizabeth, how did you do on the goal we sat back in the first? I think I just said the goal we sat, like we sat on the goal. On the goal we set the first week of January.
Well, I just said I would like to continue reading. I did not put any other parameters on myself. And so the only plan to do that was to have the next book in hand. And I read 20 books this year.
Woo!
And that is probably a lot for me. I've also realized that I am a slower reader. And that's just fine. That's also probably why audiobooks have been great and helpful for me. And so I look at what I've read. I also know I've put down several that I didn't enjoy, gave myself permission to do that. I look at what I read and I'm like, all but two of these are really good books too. I feel really happy about that, about what I've read. I mean, two of them, I'm like, well, that's fluff. And I didn't even enjoy those as much either. So that was interesting for me to kind of notice that about myself. They were disappointments that I just continued on because I was cleaning the house and they were easy to listen to and it was fine. But I have read from different time periods. I have read different genres. I have read things that challenged me and asked me questions. And I think this is great. I want to be more specific on my goals next year. I've already been thinking about them just because I think that would be the next step.
Well, that is a huge success. And I love that you have stuck with that, that you have found ways that work for you to kind of keep the next book in the queue there. So you always have the next thing to reach for. And just keeping reading more of a habit in your life. I mean, what a huge step to make. That deserves a huge celebration.
Well, because most of my reading was out loud tonight. And honestly, I didn't put those on this list. So I probably should have, actually.
Yeah.
But I want to, you know, I need to bring myself to the feast. Mm. You know, your mask on in the plane first kind of a thing too. So I wanted to make the list this way this year, and then I might do it differently next year too. So,
but it's good for you to know for your own, just your own knowledge. Because when you first said 20, I was like, it didn't seem like a high enough number. But now that you're saying you didn't count the things you read with Nate, now that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because you did a lot of reading with Nate.
Elizabeth, you did so great at figuring out, like, what's the thing that's going to help me. And then you did it. Like you said, I think it's going to help if I have an audiobook and a paper book and like I know the next one. And that's like really simple, but you did great.
All right, Amanda.
So I had kind of three goals, and one was really the main thing, and it was to read widely. And by that I meant kind of have a little more balanced diet. Maybe read fewer twaddle books, you know, more books that I've been really wanting to read, but just haven't yet. And I did that. I am really excited about that. I read some big ones. I read books that took a little more from me and took a little more time. And I am just so glad, so, so glad I did that. And having this public goal really helped with that. So kind of tools or secondary goals to accomplish that first one, I'm still working on. And by the way, we're recording this like a month and a half before the end of the year. So I still have time. Still in the game.
I was thinking that
this
too.
This might still happen. So my 5x5. So I have ended up changing a couple of the categories, and I don't want to spend much time going through all that, but the summary is, well, first of all, I did read all of my dystopian and other nonfiction category. That one is totally complete, and that's the only one that's complete. But I have read 17 out of 25 books, and these are not – I didn't put my twaddle or light fare on here. This is, you know, the books I'm really wanting to reach for and grow through. So that's what is on this list. So there's 8 left, but 5 of that 8 I've already started or I'm halfway through.
Okay. Wow.
And then that leaves 3 that I haven't started yet. So there's 3, Sweep by Jonathan Oxier, Paralandra. Oh, I have started that one. So there's 6 that I've started. And Sweep and Christmas Carol, I haven't yet started. But if I get all that in, we're going to read that with the kids. In our quiet time, we're going to do a little family quiet time and listen to Sweep and then a Christmas Carol. And those are kind of related. I'm excited to do those back to back. So I think this is still doable. And if not, I'll switch some of these out with shorter books that I want to read too. And maybe that'll do it.
It's my list. Good. I make it how I want.
That's right. Right.
Yes, it's my list. It's my 5x5. So I will make it work. And the other goal I had was to commonplace. And I really didn't do that this year. So I'm just going to move that to next year. That's a goal I have for next year.
Love it.
I like it.
It's absolutely okay.
Yeah. So how about you, Tricia?
So one of my main goals was essentially to not pressure myself to read, to not read for numbers, and to read more what I felt like my heart and soul needed. I was thinking about this morning, and I think in some ways I'm always going to struggle with this a little bit. As a 1 on the Enneagram, it is very hard for me not to be obsessed with efficiency and performance. So I have an innate tendency to push myself, but I do think I did more of this year and let myself read more for the purpose and the nourishment of what I was doing. But also just even doing this podcast and having more things to read for and wanting to read for, in some ways made reading feel a little bit more like a job, like it was more important this year. So, I mean, I'm still going to end up around 90 books because I guess I just can't help it.
Well, I think that's fine, you know, as long as,
yes,
as long as you thought about, I mean, I do think the thinking about what was going to fuel you, even if that was your only goal, was a huge one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. It was very good for me. It was a good perspective to bring into the year. And I want to keep that perspective going into next year. As far as some of my other smaller goals, to read a Dickens, to read a Madeleine L'Engle goal, I had a couple specific things like that. Those I think I have all done, except for finishing a book of poetry. But I have time.
Yes, you have time.
Because that's one of my goals, is to read a complete book of poetry every year. And I'm still working on the Rumi that we talked about in that other episode. So I'm going to finish that book of Rumi before the end of the year.
Fantastic. I know you're going to do that. You're going to do it.
For sure.
You can do it. And listeners, if as you're listening to this and thinking about your own goals, you still have time also. Because by the time this drops, it's not the end of the month. You still have time to finish that one book or whatever. You can still do it too.
And I also feel the need to say, this is, you know, put on my coaching hat for a minute. Sometimes not reaching a goal teaches us more than reaching a goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you had a goal this year and you didn't reach it, that is okay. That does not mean you're a failure. That does not mean there's something wrong with you. Just ask yourself the question, why did I not reach this goal? Was it because you didn't have the mechanisms and the habits in place to help you reach it? Was it not the right goal for you? Did you not approach it in the right way for you? Do you have some kind of block for reaching that goal? And that could be a belief. Like, what if someone told you when you were young, you're not a good reader, and you've carried that around with you? So maybe you made a goal to read, but you have a belief somewhere deep down that you're not a good reader. You may need to do some work to dig up and toss out that belief in order for you to really make good reading goals. So there's a little 60 seconds of coaching for you around reading goals.
So listeners, if you didn't know, this is Trisha's business. And so clearly, obviously after that, we need to do some episodes, book coaching with Trisha. Like clearly.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We need to do that.
That would be fun. That would be super fun. Okay. So now we'll see if Amanda's prepared, but I'm not going to make you go first. Top three books of the year. And you can decide, you can tell us how you define top three for you, whether it was favorite, like what you loved the most, what was most impactful, what you think you're going to remember, what you thought were the best books, like quality wise. So Elizabeth, how did you define it and what did you pick?
Well, I think my first is just, what did I love? And so I knew without thinking very hard that I loved Hannah Coulter. I loved it so much. It was, yay! It will probably go to like lifelong favorites list, you know, for yeah. sure. And it was the right time for me to read it too, for some really specific things. And it was, I mean, you know, having a son that had just left the house, that's a marking of time moment. The common theme of grief, like that's something that's a big moment in my life, you know, or a continuum. And so there were a lot of things about the book that made it a good book for me. And then there were also some things that just made it the right time. So that just was an easy one to pick. But then from there, I had to think, well, I liked a lot of these books. So what would make me like them better or differently? Or what would be the next layer thing? And so from there, I picked, and so not in order then, Destiny of the Republic and 1984. So okay. Politics Anyone.
Awesome.
Is that not a funny, like, feelings and grief, politics. But I loved Candace Millard's writing. I plan to choose another one from her for next year. I love history in general, and I love the way it was told. I love the way I got several people's story. It was a great story that I also needed to know because it was my history. And then I liked 1984, though it is really gross and disgusting and awful. But there were lessons that will stick out and I will reference in my mind commonly. So it made a mark in a big way. And some of that was just going back and explaining things that I hear all the time. You know, I mean, you hear about Big Brother all the time. Well, that's from that book. And so to understand the references is big. But I saw a game advertised to me on Instagram back in the summer, and it was like removing extra words from sentences was the game. And I never comment on general things of the internet because that's just how you get in a fight with a stranger sitting at their keyboard, which is, why would you do that? But I just said, what in the 1984 is this? <It's> like, or no, I said, what in the new speak is this? And so it was funny to me because in that moment I realized, like, I read that book 6 months ago and it just popped in my head as a reference of a cautionary tale, you know? So my favorites for different reasons, all of them. Even though two are, I guess you could say, a little more related just under the government umbrella, but they mattered for different reasons. I liked them for different reasons. That will help me pick my books for next year. I want to really think about these when I'm making a list. And I plan on making a really specific list for next year. And I want to make it too big, just because what if you can't get this one this day? Or what if you blow through it more? All that kind of thing. I think you should always make your goals a little too big. But I want to think through, okay, if these were my favorites, then. And I read things under other umbrellas that I also really enjoyed, but I think these, the mark was heavier on me.
Yeah, I was going to say that it sounds like all three of them. I mean, I know all three of them have made an impact on me. I thought about picking Destiny of the Republic, but we also, listeners, set as our criteria something that you read for the first time, not a reread. So it was a reread for me this year. So it couldn't be in the running. But Destiny of the Republic made a huge impact on me, and I will always remember it. I will always remember President Garfield's story and so many things about his character and the way he, essentially the way he suffered and died, and things about Alexander Graham Bell and what he tried to do, and things about the crazy person who shot him. Like, it's just such a great, fascinating story.
And the little lady writing the letters that was an unknown.
Yeah. Yes, I will always remember that.
There was much in that story, and just the human condition, the American condition, you know, even that far back, there was just a lot in that book to last.
For that sure. is such a great list, Elizabeth.
Thanks.
Yeah, it really is. All right, Amanda, you're up.
Okay, and I do have three. I do just have three. So, yay. but this was hard. And a lot of these that I read them because they're important, you know, or I think they're important for one reason or another. But on first reading, it's not something I love yet. Mm-hmm. But with layers, that will come, I'm sure. But I will say, of the classics that I read, like Ancients, the one I was surprised how much I loved this on first reading was Beowulf.
Huh.
I love the language, how they foresee Whale Road or things like that. I just love that. But it was actually kind of a page turner, and I wasn't expecting that. But I thought it was great. Okay, so my second one is a book. I did not love it. It did not give me a good feeling, quite the opposite. But I think it was very important, and it tracks a thread of thinking through time. And I love that. It's a little more philosophical, but it's That Hideous Strength, A Deeper Look at How the West Was Lost. And this book has two subtitles: an expanded edition examining the cancer of cultural Marxism in the church, the world, and the gospel of change. And it's by Melvin Tinker. And I read this along with the Communist Manifesto and a couple of Plutarch stories. And I am so glad I read this. But it is one, like, I felt sick at times. I really felt sick to my stomach, just because some of these thoughts and what people did with them are so horrendous and gross. Mm-hmm. But I want to take the red pill, you know, like, I want to know why we think the way we think now and where it comes from. Mm. So if you're that way too, you might also enjoy the nausea that comes from this book. Oh, but it's, you know,
important but not fun.
Yeah. And bad ideas aside, I just love so much tracing the flow of thought through time. I just love that so much. Okay, so finally, my last book that was my favorite because it's one of my favorites. And of course, all these I've read for the first time this year. It has got to be one of the best written books I've ever read. It's frequently at the top of lists of books people need to read, and even of Christian novels. And it's Anna Karenina. And I was blown away by how real the characters are and how complex they are and his writing. And man, you really go through stuff with the characters. And I like those characters, like Hannah Coulter, like Destiny of the Republic, and like 1984. Like, these characters are in me now, you know? They're part of the furnishings of my mind. And I see why this book is so revered and so hailed as it is a type of list and everything. There is so much to it. It is so deep. And it's just a roller coaster of emotion.
For sure.
And I love the fundamental messages in it. So, wow. It is really something.
Yeah, it really is. Well done, Amanda.
Okay.
Three.
Way to narrow it down to three. And they're such three good books.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But I do look forward to getting back to our game of trying to figure out how to circumvent the list limits. Next season. So stay tuned.
Back to the drawing board.
Okay. So when I was looking through my books, I started with things that I rated 5 stars. And I am not like Amanda. I am not as stingy with my 5 stars. I will give 5 stars to any book that I feel like I loved and is a great example of its own type. So I will give a Jenny Colgan Christmas at the Cupcake Cafe 5 stars if I think it is a great example of a rom-com Christmas book and I really loved it. So I started with the books that I gave 5 stars and I made a short list. And then I said, okay, what books are really going to stick with me? Like what impacted me the most and is really going to stick? And that's how I decided on my final three.
Awesome.
So first one is The Four Winds by Kristen Hannah. Of even all the things in my short list, it may not even be the best written book. Like I think she's a good writer. I don't know that she's a genius writer.
Sure.
But that story was so powerful and it illuminated a time in our nation's history in a way that I've never had illuminated about the Dust Bowl and the migration west and what it was like for the people trying to live in California and the West Coast during that time. And as Elizabeth talked about, like the reason some of those people started turning toward communism at that point because of the situation they were in and the strength of the main character and how, you know, because her husband abandoned the family, how she had to take their journey to survival into her own hands. All of those things are going to stick with me for a very long time. So even though it was very sad, it was a sad book and wasn't always an easy book to read. I really loved it and I'm really glad I read it.
Yeah, that was so good.
My second pick is Everything Sad is Untrue. And I was actually surprised to have on my short list 3 middle grade / YA books. And as you were saying, Elizabeth, that kind of made me want to think about next year, making sure I fit those in. Because it's not something I tend to go toward, especially now that my boys are older and I'm not reading with them. But it reminded me that when you really just pick a few and read the best of the best, that it's not a category you want to eliminate because there are such beautiful stories in that space. Sure. And this story that is about, it's written from the perspective of a 12-year-old boy, and it is semi-autobiographical. So it's based on the author's real life experiences, even though it's fiction. And they are immigrants from Persia, and it follows their journey and what their immigration story was like and what it was like for them to settle in Oklahoma in the 80s. And it is just funny and heartwarming and beautiful and sad and inspirational all at the same time. So I loved it. Close Reads is doing it next year. It made the list for next year. So if you have not read it, you can read it with Close Reads next year, which I'm very much looking forward to. And speaking of Close Reads, my third favorite book this year is Brideshead Revisited by Evelyn Waugh.
I wondered if that was going to be it.
Yeah, it, y'all, this book is just so powerful, so amazingly beautifully written. And I can't remember what I said about it before when I talked about it after I came back from the retreat. But as I have sat with it, it is really a book about salvation. And sometimes it's called a conversion story because from beginning to end, it is a conversion story of the narrator. But as I have sat with it more and more, it is really about this family and how everyone in the family finds their way to salvation over time. And even though on the surface, that's not what it's about at all. And you could read this book, you could be an atheist and read this book and love it. And people do. Like people of all faiths and all perspectives love this book because it is such a deep story on all levels. And it's about society at the time, and it's about a family, and it's about a coming of age story, and it's about the meaning of pleasure, and it's about the meaning of life. Like, it's about so many beautiful things. But when you have eyes to see, it is really similar to Flannery O'Connor, who we've just been reading in our Real Life Book Club. It is about the fraught and often painful path to salvation and what grace looks like in a complicated, destructive world.
Wow.
So it's going to stick with me forever. I will read it again for sure.
Yeah.
And there are lessons that deeply touched my heart and even sharpened the focus on the way I view some things about the life of faith. So it will stick with me forever.
And that's great.
Brideshead Revisited. Yeah.
I mean, I think you would have still enjoyed your week if you had not enjoyed the book and then could have discussed from that side. But I think it's better when you do and you think, oh, this was it. This was great.
Yeah. Well, and there's no doubt in my mind that having that week to pour over it
made it better.
Brilliant and like-minded people, you know, you just see so much more. It was kind of like, you know, Amanda, you've been talking about how multiple readings bring out all the different layers.
But what if you did all at once? Well, I think it
was... Right. Like it was not that there aren't more layers to get, there are, but because I spent a week discussing it, I feel like I probably got 3 or 4 layers the first time.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had just read it by myself with a little bit of reading or whatever, I would have had to get those one at a time.
Yeah.
I think that probably is a reason that it was so powerful for me, but worth reading and worth all the layers for sure. Okay, so I wanted us to wrap up today with the question, when you look back at your reading life this year, your whole reading life, we've talked about the way that reading and stories form us, form our imagination, form the furniture of our mind, speak to our spirit, speak to our hearts, can heal us, nurture us, support us. What did you get out of your reading life this year? How did it impact you?
Well, I watched a lot less TV. And I think that, not to pass judgment on TV, but I think it brought a quietness into my mind.
And what has been the result of that quietness?
More patience, more thoughtful actions, better understanding of other people's perspective.
Those are big things. I mean, those are not small.
Yeah.
I always say that one of the goals of my life is peace. I went through a really, really hard time at about age 28 and I could not find peace. And since then, that is always part of my spiritual, mental, emotional pursuit, spiritual first and then the others. And I mean, I hear you saying, Elizabeth, that when you say quietness of mind and patience and seeing other people's perspective, I mean, to me, that sounds like peace and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think so. Also, in just seeing this moment that I'm in right now, it's hard, but that is okay. And it will pass because I'm reading other stories of hard things that pass. And it gives you a perspective of patience through your own situation so that you're not like... Why me? You know, like, why not me? I mean, not that I've had anything terrible this year, you know, but just in approaching those things, whatever they were at that time.
Yeah.
I think for me, because of the nature of my goals and it was so public and the accountability is so helpful for me, I think, well, and also the last few years of reading, I was able to approach my choices a little less... How do I feel at this moment? Which that's not bad, but a little more aligned with my goals. And there's a little bit more steadiness about my reading this year. It was a less like a potato chip bag where you just want to go through all of it, you know? Just the next easy thing. And being able to just approach it a little more thoughtfully and intentionally has been very helpful. And when you start a new habit, you know, or adjust it, you know how that can kind of spread to different parts of your life?
Yeah.
So I just think I've been able to be a little bit more thoughtful and steady in other ways too. I think it's helped with that.
That's really interesting. So you're saying that being more thoughtful and intentional and steady in your reading life has translated to being more thoughtful and steady in other areas of your life.
Yeah. Not that I've been, you know, hanging out on a pole, blowing around in the wind all the time, but yeah, I think it has helped tweak some things this year that, yeah, I love how habits can bleed over into other areas of your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is, again, I'm just going to say that is not small.
Yeah.
You know, thoughtfulness, intention, and steadiness beginning in one place and then bleeding over into other places. That's beautiful. And it's big.
Yeah, it's been very helpful. I think one way it's more helpful is when I'm a little more thoughtful and steady with my own choices. It helps me to be more open, to be thoughtful and steady and helpful with other people.
Yeah.
You know, like you got to get yourself in order,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Helpful.
I think for me this year, and this is really kind of a springboard off of what I said about Brideshead Revisited. There were several books like that in that vein for me. Amanda Anna Karenina was one. It wasn't my first reading, but it was one. And the Salvation Story of, what's his name? Levin. And the Salvation Story of Levin from beginning to end in that book. I also read Loris, which is a fictional account of a saint in the Dark Ages. And then the reading we've been doing recently of the C.S. Lewis Ransom Trilogy. I'm almost done with the third book in that series. And those things, along with others, I feel like have given me a broader, deeper understanding of the journey of life and what grace is and how it often does not look like what we want it to look like or what we expect it to look like. Flannery O'Connor, again, goes in this category. And I just feel like maybe more than any other year in my reading life, even just the fiction that I read, this is not including like the spiritual books I read, but the fiction that I read stretched and grew my heart and my spirit and made it more alive to God in the world. Which I say that and then I'm like, does that sound like a, I don't know, vague, like oversimplification of something. But I feel like it's true.
Well, I feel like I can echo those thoughts with my own reading. Do you think you can too, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
I don't think it's because what you're saying is vague. I think it's because it's foundational.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what great books, capital G, lowercase g, really good books do.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much this will come through when it plays, you know, through the podcast app and all that. But I'm noticing how much when we're talking about what our reading has meant to us this year, how many long, thoughtful pauses we are having. And so often that is cleaned up in our editing session. So I just wanted to give like verbal notice to that. And it's not, I don't know what to say. It's, how do I say what I know? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an extremely deep and personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three very different readers. But it meant something that the journeys you went on mattered and they all matter to our futures. And
love it. So listeners, we would love to know, did you have goals? What were they and how did they go? Tricia, would you mind restating your great final question at the end about what, basically it was what we learned from our reading.
Yeah, what was your biggest takeaway or impact that your reading life had on you this year?
Whether you met your goals or not.
Right, correct. For sure.
The goal is just a tool to get to this question Tricia's asking.
Yeah. And we want to know your top three favorite books of the year.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to hear that. So if you're listening to this and you're not a member of our group, go to Facebook right now, search Book Fair Podcast, and please tell us what are the three top books you read this year and why.
And Elizabeth, we have a contest going on.
We do. I am seeing so much hashtag hustle bustle books, remembering as we're out and about and we're in the world and we're doing all the holiday season things, many of us are taking along a little book with us from our little book episode, which we titled our Hustle Bustle episode. And remember that if you tag a picture, tag us in a picture on the general social media public world, and really, I would say, I think we've said in any of those forums, wherever it is, we're on most of them. So we'll see you if you tag us in them. Your name's going to go in a drawing, and we're going to have a big fun prize for you. And it will be
keep hustle bustling it up.
Keep hustle there. Bustling. It will be fun to see what that looks like for everybody. What kind of a book is it for you? But take your tiny books out in the world with you. So that's hashtag hustle bustle books. Bonus points if you throw in hashtag book fair podcast. Yes. Maybe not actual bonus points, just attaboys.
And you have until the end of New Year's Day.
Yes. Well, listeners, this is going to be our last episode of 2022. We will be back to you. Our plan is the second week of January. So this is just a short break between season two and season three. So until next season, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy reading, friends.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Interact with us on our Facebook page, Instagram, and TikTok. Join our private Facebook group for community and conversation and more book recommendations than you can handle.
And you can help us grow by sharing, so don't forget to tell a friend.